What a wonderful song, huh? A couple of hundred years old. All other ground is sinking ground. We go to Christ, we lean on Him hard, and at that cross He carries us all and tells us, calls us from there to pick up our cross and follow Him. The gospel that we have for today is from Mark chapter 6, verses 14 through 29. And the subtitle is John the Baptist Beheaded. So from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, 14 through 29. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known. And he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. Others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. But when Herod heard, he said, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced, he pleased Herod and those who sat with him. The king said to the girl, ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you. And he also swore to her, whatever you ask, I will give you up to half my kingdom. So she went out and said to her mother, what shall I ask? And she said, the head of John the Baptist. Immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of his oaths, and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately, the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went on and beheaded him in prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of the Lord. Father, thank you for this moment that you thought worthwhile before we were. Thank you for your loving kindness, Lord, that our greatest need you supply with your greatest gift, the forgiveness of our sins by your Son, holy God for sinful men. Thank you, Jesus, for living the perfect life that we can never live and dying the death that we deserve. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your Holy Spirit. Holy God and sinful man, all of us here. Lord, enabling us to hear from you that you love us, for we are yours and nothing can ever snatch us from your hands. Oh, Lord, please condescend to us now. Grant us divine understanding so that we can go forth from here proclaiming your gospels to those that haven't heard yet and you've predestined to hear for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's sermon, it's a tough one. It's not one of the prettier ones, but it's in God's word, so we need to deal with it. Most of us should be familiar by now with the axiom, power corrupts, absolute power corrupts absolutely. This is true for mankind, not for God. For we don't have absolute power. We are all petty potentates in wherever our realm of influence is, in our own little heads. And if you're Cuban like me, and even have a small head, I use a small helmet for my motorcycle, you think your head is bigger. If you're not Cuban and you're not familiar with us, it's not going to mean anything to us. But if you're like me and you've repented enough, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. The Christian life is a life of repentance. But listen, back to this. There's always been Antichrist, right? Pastor's been talking about the Antichrist. Don't look for him in your alphabet soup to see if it's spelled out. Don't look for him in what's happening in the Middle East. And all these things. Yes, that Antichrist is going to come at one end time and we're going to be raptured and it's going to be new heaven and new earth. That's the moment we're all waiting for. This is where we're at now. But there's always been Antichrist. There was Pharaoh, right? There's been other kings. But Antichrist is the age. It is the spirit of the age. And we're going to see that develop even more now. Okay, so I have named today's sermon on a platter. So let's unpack this verse by verse. Now King Herod heard of him, for his name had become well known, and he said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and before these powers are and therefore these powers are at work in him. King Herod. Right? King Herod, Jewish irony, really designated by Augustus Caesar as Herod Antipas, for the king title was not bestowed to him like to his father, Herod the Great. The great despot, murderer of babies of Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth. This is his father. His father had 10 wives. One of them was Cleopatra. His mother was Malthus, bad person from Thes, somewhere in Bulgaria, eastern Turkey, a Samaritan woman. The name Antipas means like his father. Herod Antipas officially requested king title in 4 AD, his father, after his father's death, who had divided the kingdom between his four sons. They each reigned over a fourth, hence the title Tetrarch of Galilee. Though Antipas had all the kingly benefits, he and Herodias, his illegitimate wife, coveted mostly the king title. So in 39 AD, he formally requested a title again to the crazed Caligula. Remember Pastor mentioning him last week? This infuriated the emperor, Caligula, and he banished him and his wife to Gaul in Spain. It seems to be like the farthest place that you can go in the known world at that time was Spain. Right? Where was the guy that got fished up go to? Huh? Spain. I don't want to go to Nineveh. I know that God is a good God. And he's going to save my enemies. Right? That was the farthest region known. After there, water. And at that time, they didn't know what was beyond that. So he does the same thing. I'm going to ban him to Spain. One despot has no room for another. Of all the cruelties this erratic ruler conceived of, incest, I'm talking about Caligula. Incest, sexual intercourse with both bride and groom before they would copulate. Nothing notes the state of his depravity as his final request to his own Praetorian guard as to the method of his assassination. His own people, his own guard. Right? Imagine the Secret Service turns in on our president. This is what happens here. They were so sick of him, of his assassination. He requested the sword through his private parts. This was the method of death that he chose. That's what he wanted to be his final memory on earth. Sick puppy. Then came Nero, who killed Peter and Paul. These are antichrists. Herod was an antichrist in his rule, in his realm of influence. Caligula to the whole Roman Empire. And he wanted to be the top notch. Nero, the same thing. Wanted a new city to his glory. Accused the Christians of burning it, that he burned himself probably. Do you see all these sick minds? Verse 15, others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is the prophet, or like one of the prophets. Note here, an Elijah-like figure. It had been 400 years since Israel had heard from a prophet. And this one will be the precursor of the Christ, ushering in the kingdom. In the power of Elijah, John the Baptizer begins thundering the message of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The axe is at the root of the tree. The axe is at the root of the tree. I'm sorry. The axe is at the root of the tree. Time of judgment is now. Therefore, repent into the waters, for he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit of fire. John rejoiced in hearing the bridegroom, the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers cleansed, death hear, dead raised, the good news is proclaimed. The Baptist reasons it is complete. I must decrease, he must increase. And I think I'm hearing Wayne, our beloved deacon, saying this. Remember how he would always pray? I must decrease, he must increase. John understands and proclaims. He will hear the sharpening of the sword to sever his head and be at peace. Verse 16. But when Herod heard this, this is John, whom I beheaded. He has been raised from the dead. Scared. We all have a God-given conscience, every single one of us. The law is not something that Moses comes up with. Paul says that from Genesis, right, until Moses, from Adam and Eve until Moses, death ruled. What does that mean? That the law has been killing. The law is doing its effective work. The wages of sin is death. It's not an invention of Moses. It's a republication. These are words that we've learned from our beloved Presbyterian brothers. What Moses is doing is a republication of what has already been standardized, putting it and writing it down. You see, with this conscience, God controls all of us. No matter how rebellious we are to be, we still have a conscience. Friedrich Nietzsche, grandson, son of pastors, Lutheran, pietistic family. His words, his most famous word is, God is dead and we have killed him. That was his rebellion. He doesn't say there's no God. He said, God is dead and we have killed him. What was his complaint? His complaint was that all this liturgy, all these things that you guys are doing in church, you're making a distant God from me. It's a bunch of do, 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 do. Don't do this. Don't do this. Don't do this. You must. You must. You must. You must. No grace. We can never meet up to that standard. And this frustrated him, and he rebelled. Note his words. And if you read his writings, his attack on the church is profound. Right? God is dead, for we have killed him. Who can wipe away our knives? Who can cleanse the blood from our knives that we have sacrificed to Christ? And the water there is baptismal waters for purification. You see the language from the frustration that he was in because there was no grace. It was all do, do, do. No, Christ has done this for you. So he's frustrated, but his conscience doesn't let him go. The last 2 to 3 years of his life, he spends most of the time asleep. He will sleep for a day, two or three. And his sisters were looking after him, and his mother was usually by his bedside. As to when he will wake up, they will give him some food and take him to the bathroom or whatever. But he was bed-stricken. And he will sit up in bed and do what? He will quote scripture that he learned as a little boy. That's our conscience, and that's where God works. And that's where God limits all, from Pharaoh to Hitler. Right? Oscar Wilde. In De Profundis, he states that he asked his lover, his other homosexual lover, Robert, did you love any of those boys that we had for whom they were? Or were they just objects to be had for pleasure? And Robert says, no, man, we're just objects to be had for pleasure. And Oscar says, in their lies are demise. Call me a pastor. I need to repent. The upbringing was there. The conscience was there. We all hear the same gospel to the predestined that believe for salvation, for the unpredestined that don't believe and want nothing to do with God, for condemnation. Hitler's plan was to kill 11 million Jews in Western Europe, 11 million. And God controls all things. He only got away with 6 million. One is too many. But do you see? There's always Antichrist. There's always Antichrist. Maduro, Fidel, right? Idi Amin would eat his enemies. It is historically the fear of all pagans that those that they have abused, harmed, and killed come back for vengeance. So Herod is now trembling, terrified, haunted by the idea that John was back for justice. Remember the old movie, The Rogue, where Caligula was terrified by the mere presence of the piece of cloth that had been worn by Jesus? So Herod now thought that John had taken the name of Jesus. For you see, at this time, it was John who had all the fame. Jesus had just started his ministry. John had been doing it for at least 6 months before Jesus. So the fame was there, right? They were all enamored with hearing a prophet that they haven't heard in 400 years. Prophets that they killed themselves for an unpolitically correct message. Speak to that a little bit more at the end. Verse 17. For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Oh, ladies, the influence you can have upon your husbands. Be very careful. Don't let that go to your heads. Very careful. Verse 18. Because John had said to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. The Herods were Edomites. converted to Judaism. All of them were raised as Jews. Therefore, John the Baptist was within his just jurisdiction to call him out publicly for his public sin. John is not talking to Pontius Pilate. Jesus didn't even mess with him. John is talking to his own. You know better. Don't do that. Right? The world will do what the world will do. We only have authority within the church. That's it. The world will do what the world will do. Verse 19. Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. Doesn't that blow your mind? His wife convinces him that they need to get rid of John. But he is listening. Why? Because the conscience is at work. But that wife is powerful. So he says, let me please her. Put him in prison. Shut him up. But he would still go to him in prison and listen to him. Is that incredible? Right? There is some attraction and fear of the holy. Because we are made in the image and likeness of God. We understand holy. My dogs don't. My dogs love them because I feed them and scratch their heads. And they're happy and they jump all around me. Not us. Not us. Everything else gets called into existence. We are made by God's hands personally from lowly dirt so that we can stay lowly before Him, and we don't. And He kisses life into us. He blesses, Baruchah, life into us. There's a story of these golfers, and I forget the name. Who's, if there's any golfer in the house, what's the name of the, they call him the golfer of the century. I wish my dad was here. He'd tell me exactly these things. No. It's the past century. Maybe Arnold Palmer, President Reagan, the top ranked, the 10th ranked golfer in the country at this time. We're talking probably in the early 80s. And Billy Graham and the 10th ranked golfer. They went out for a round before a big major tournament in the South. And they come back, and this guy who was ranked in the 10th place went furiously abandoned him and went to the driving range and started hitting balls drivingly. Bang, bang, bang. And a friend came up to him and said, well, what's wrong? What's wrong? And he says, who does Billy Graham think he is shoving religion down my throat? Bang, bang, continues to hit the ball, driving him out. And his friend gets scared enough. But then approaches him and says, Billy Graham really came hard on you, right? And he says, no, actually, he didn't say a word to me. It's his presence and knowing that he was a just and holy man. I don't consider Billy to be a great theologian. I think his wife, being a Presbyterian, was a better theologian, but not Billy. Okay? But it doesn't matter. This is God's vessel. And we can clearly see that. Our conscience. Always at work. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. We see here, again, the Elijah likeness. Remember how the wicked Jezebel, the wife of Ahab, wanted to kill Elijah for killing her false prophets in Mount Carmel. You see? One like Elijah. Verse 21. Then an opportune day came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a feast for his nobles, the high officers, and the chief men of Galilee. See all this? This is why the Jehovah's Witnesses don't celebrate birthdays. Also, Job's children were killed at the elder brother's party. Belshazzar, feast with holy vessels looted from the first temple, saw the writing on the wall. You've been weighed out and you're lacking. They considered all parties other than weddings and worldly, other than weddings, all pagan and worldly events. This is why the Jehovah's Witnesses don't practice these things. They don't celebrate anything this, and they stay so apart from the rest of the world. Verse 22. And when Herodias' daughter herself came in and danced and pleased Herod and those who sat with him, the king said to the girl, "Ask me whatever you want, and I will give it to you." Let's see if this rings a bell, guys. I had asked for the musicians to help me with this portion here, but they kindly rejected. This is in English, so convert it to Spanish. Give your body joy, Macarena, that your body is to give joy and good thing. Give your body joy, Macarena. Hey, Macarena. Remember? Right? From La Macarena dance to the macabre. Ladies, you are powerful. Don't misuse it. Verse 23. He also swore to her, "Whatever you ask me, I will give to you up to half of my kingdom." Right? This is a saying that they had back then. He wasn't going to give her half of the kingdom. First of all, they didn't think of women that highly. They were objects to be had. Very powerful objects. But that was basically what it was. Third-class citizens. They couldn't testify in court. Right? They were not to be heard. Their husbands were to speak for them. Do you see why we have a sexual revolution in the 60s? And now it's gone overboard? Well, verse 24. So she went out and said to her mother, "What shall I ask?" Do you think these girls didn't talk? They talked all the time. A lot of times, in counseling, when there's breakups between couples, you'll see other ladies that were probably better friends of the husband than of the lady attack the husband. You know why? They're blood sisters. No other one understands another woman like another woman. So guys, don't abuse. Don't abuse. You give your life for your wife as Christ did for his church. So immediately she goes out to the mom and she said, "The head of John the Baptist." Did that irritate her? Huh? Yeah. Yeah. The guy keeps yapping that what I'm doing is wrong. I know what I'm doing is wrong. I don't need to hear it from anybody else. And what I want, when I finally get it, when I get to be the queen of the king, none of this will matter. This will really make it better for me. No. No, you're going to get thrown to Spain. The two names of great disrepute in Scripture is Jezebel and Solomon, Herodias' daughter, whose name is rendered to us by Josephus. This is not in Scripture. Josephus tells us that, the Jewish historian. One of my saddest memories as a portrait photographer was when mothers of quinceañeras, I see some Anglos here, quinceañera is a debutante. When they're 15, we do a debutante party for our daughters. This is a Latin tradition. Okay? In the last 20 years, the mothers of these quinceañeras, of these 15-year-old girls, were asking me to do nude or insinuating nudity portraits of their daughters. This is the depravity of the world. One of the few reasons why I no longer practice this. I can't. You know, I can't tell you how many moms I argued with at first. By the fourth or fifth time, I would just tell them, ma'am, if that's what you want, I'm not your photographer. You need to look for somebody else. Because they were offended. But we're paying you. You must do. No, you're not paying you. You do this. They think money settles everything. No. And most of the time, that mom and daughter visiting me at the studio were barely dressed. Of course they wanted nude pictures. I was like, what are we doing here? Verse 25, immediately she came in with haste to the king and asked, saying, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And the king was exceedingly sorry, yet because of the oaths of and because of those who sat with him, he did not want to refuse her. See? He wants to please the people there that saw him. He doesn't want to look weak. Listen, there's oaths that we're not to keep. They're stupid and against God. Remember Jephthah? The first person I see come through that door, I kill her. His daughter comes through. You don't keep that oath. You don't make an oath to kill anybody. Let's sacrifice them. And boy, do we do that day in, day out in this country. We'll get there. Verse 27. Immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in prison. This is also a sign of things to come for the apostles. Verse 28. Brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. And the girl gave it to her mother. Can you guys think of this visually? Huh? The graphic detail of this? The macabre of this? Or morbid? In the early mid-20th century, a renowned theologian said that America was no longer influenced by Christianity, that it had become pagan. Before his death in 1984, Francis Schaeffer stated that America was no longer neo-pagan, but that it had become barbaric. We are now in a barbaric, postmodern, post-Christianity society. Barbaric is a majority of people that enjoy the murderous bloodshed, even if it is not placed on a platter, like in the case of abortion. Just because most of all of us all will never see it, doesn't mean it's not happening every day, every moment. Mostly on Sundays. You know why mostly on Sundays? Because most of the Christians protesting in front of the abortion mills are not there. They're in church. Think about that. Mostly on Sundays. And this is at a national rate of 1.5 million a year. If that doesn't cause you to twitch uncontrollably, neither will homosexuality, and it's rampant, and what they're teaching our children, the sexual dysphoria, I don't know how we're going to deal with this. Homosexuality will not do it for you. Adultery, you won't care. Look at the TV programs. The soap operas that Abuelita watch. It's all adultery. You know? With the homosexual kisses. And who is Abuelita seeing this with half the time? With the grandchildren. You see? Do you see where we're at? Nor fornication. And we're finishing, brothers. And you might think, that, oh, no, this is the world. No, this is the church. There are big churches in our town, of our association, that not only do they take all this apart, no baptismal, no communion table, no cross, even though it was there before, but they are forbidden from the pulpit, their pastors, to speak against abortion, homosexuality, and fornication, and adultery. I was for 3 months in a private Christian school. Within my first week there, some of us know the story. Within my first week there, I was teaching Bible. The teacher there had to leave. His mom got sick, and so I went and covered the ending of the year. Within my first week there, at our first staff meeting, I said, so-and-so is 16 years old. He is a blatant, out-of-the-closet, loud and proud homosexual in my class. When can I talk to his father? The director of the school said, no, that's so-and-so's son. He is the deacon and one of our greatest contributors. I said, what? This is a classmate of one of your nephew's wife. This is the church. No, you cannot preach on fornication, because a lot of the people in these big churches, they're living with their boyfriends and girlfriends. And if not, it's a weekend thing. But you're not allowed to. We'll lose membership. This is the church. It's bad enough in the world. But coming from the church, this is where we're at. God have mercy on us all. Verse 29. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took away his corpse and laid him in a tomb. God be praised for our brothers and sisters that are these abortion mills. And whenever they can, they pick up these aborted babies and give them proper burials. That's a job. But because of Christ and him crucified for sinners, all of us here, I take you back to our first reading, Psalm 85:10. At the cross of Christ for us, righteousness, justice, and mercy kissed for us all sinners. I remind you, brothers, your sins are forgiven. Please stand for the benediction. The Father bless you and keep you. The Lord shine his face upon you. And the Spirit give you peace. Now go and serve your neighbor and glorify God. God bless you all.